Well, I almost had a crisis coming up here to speak. I pulled my notes out of my briefcase in that last hymn, and I noticed there was a staple on the notes that shouldn't be there, and I had a bit of a look at, turned it over. It was my wife's notes. So I'm glad I've got my notes here now. So there's three scriptures that I've always been puzzled how to apply them. We're going to go to these three scriptures, and you'll get a gist of where I'm going with this. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, but if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may be recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this is talking about people that help others become unsnared, to get out of crisis. Next verse is James 5. James 5 and verse 19 to 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So here's someone that's intervening for someone else that's in trouble. And the third scripture I'd like to take us to, Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So here we're helping restore someone that's not doing so well. I've struggled with these three scriptures because there are three instances where it's talking about how we can intervene in other people's lives. And I've had problems with that in the past. When someone, if I find out someone's struggling, I go to them and I try to solve their problem. And it's never worked out really good at all. You know, when you try and help someone when they haven't asked you into their problem. So part of my training, I did a full week this week training with police officers in crisis response. So all week we trained in how to help people in crisis. And I'd like to show you from God's word how we can help people in crisis, fulfilling these three scriptures. We had actors pretending to be people in crisis, and we had to talk them down. People standing on the outside of a bridge handrail ready to jump. And there's nothing you can do to stop them except talk to them, to listen to their story. So I'm going to go through some of those techniques that the FBI use in hostage negotiations, how police help people come out of crisis. And they're the same skills that you can use to help someone in crisis. It could be your spouse, your children, it could be a fellow brethren that are struggling. So, first of all, I'm going to talk about people that are obviously distressed, really worked up. There's a skill called grounding. And I've got a handout here that I'll leave here that people can look at. It's stay grounded using your five senses. So you're, this is geared towards children, and you're asking your child in crisis or the person in crisis to to identify five things they can see: a chair, a fan, a flag, a piano, right? You're getting them out of that emotional state and you're getting them to start engaging with a little bit of control in their thinking. Four things you can feel. What's in your hand right now? What does that feel like? Can you feel the clothes that you're wearing? What about your feet in your shoes? Can you feel that? Four things you can feel. Three things that you can hear. I can hear some rustling of paper. I can hear an air conditioner. I've got a bit of a ringing in my ears. Three things you can hear. Two things you can smell, and one thing that you can taste. This really helps someone de-escalate, helps them get from that emotional state to becoming a little calmer. So I've got 4 points, right? Where the first point is listen. So what's going on? Let's go to James 1. James 1 and verse 19. I've got verse 9, but it's actually verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. And sometimes when someone's in distress, we want to get angry or respond back, but we need to be quick to listen. What's going on? Let them tell you what's going on. A calm voice. So what you're saying is you're upset about, you reflect what they're saying to you. Ask open-ended questions. How does this make you feel? Encourage them to keep talking. Uh-huh. Tell me more. Nod your head. Right, you're showing that you're listening to them. Point number two is empathize. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Right? One mind. Right? What are they feeling? Right? Empathize with them. You must be feeling overwhelmed. You must be struggling with that. That must be scary. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we're trying to understand how they feel. If they're sitting, sit down with them. You know, you don't want to be standing over them. If they're sitting on the floor, crouch down with them. Feel how they feel. And label those feelings. You must be feeling angry. You must be feeling disempowered. Try to grab those words that might describe how they feel. I've got another handout. It's called Soul Words. It gives a whole bunch of emotions and different ways of describing that. So one feeling might be overwhelmed, but it might also be described as apprehensive, boxed in, burdened, confused, distressed, guarded, hard-pressed, paralyzed, panicky, tense, weighted down, edgy. So this list is fantastic for helping people understand how they feel. And you can show this to them and kind of work through this and try and label those feelings. And when you do that, you're getting them out of their emotional state and into a more discerning and trying to get them into a more logical state. When you're working with words and labeling, it can really take away that stress. So that handout's there as well. And also, I've got another handout called the Anger Iceberg. Often when people are angry, there's a lot of background feelings to that. The iceberg, you see the anger at the top, but underneath, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I'm embarrassed, offended, I feel attacked, pressured, shame. So this is a great resource too to help you with those words and labeling. So that's point number two, is to empathize. Point number three is to summarize as a question. So you're listening and empathizing and then summarize what's going on. So what you're saying is, someone took your toy and you're feeling upset and you are wanting to get me to do something about it. That must make you feel angry. Did I get that right? Right, so you summarize the situation, what you've heard, the feelings involved, and you've asked them a question, did I get that right? These three points that I've given you, listen, empathize, and summarize with a question, will help build trust and help that person know that you understand. It builds your understanding of what's going on. And this is 90% of de-escalating this crisis. And they'll be vulnerable enough to disclose what the problem is. So point number four is the intervention, right? By building trust and identifying empathy, we're now in a position where giving some advice, they're going to be more likely to listen. And I always never did these first three steps. I just jumped in with the solution. So signals that someone is ready for your intervention, they'll say things like, I don't know what to do. What should I do? This is your window to give them some advice on what to do. If someone's standing on a bridge ready to jump, I don't know what to do. You can say, look, there's help out there. Let's climb over that handrail and talk about it. We can get you the help you need. Let's talk about this some more. But I'm afraid for your safety. Come over the handrail. Let's talk about that. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you in a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right? So when someone says, I don't know what to do, give them that hope. And as brethren, our hope is in the Lord, right? And when we don't know what to do, the answer is always with the Lord. He has the answers. And that's where we can lead someone in crisis to Scripture. And there's always a Scripture for every situation. And if you think about it, there's always something. I love Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let's go there. This is always good advice for someone that's struggling. If you don't have the answers, this is a great scripture to go to. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is what we need to fill our minds with and meditate on. There could be a whole host of scriptures that come to mind. And if you're seeking God in this or praying together about God, give us what we need. Scriptures will come to mind. God does want to help you. So I've got these handouts. I'm going to leave them here. And when this message is posted on our website, these handouts will be available as well. I've got an active listening checklist, which kind of elaborates a little bit more on what I've talked about with the point number one, listen. After church, the ladies have their book club, and I invite you men, while you're waiting for your wife, let's get together and have a chat. Let's have a talk about how we can listen to our spouses. This is some good material to cover. So, brethren, you are able to help others if you listen and empathize and summarize what you hear as a question. And if you have those signals to help someone, offer how to help them, offer that hope.